Hello and welcome to Talking Trading. I'm Caroline Stephen. It's great to have you join us. The Wizard of Words, Pete Godfrey, joins us on the show today. From a rebel without a clue who left school at 15 to one of the most in-demand copywriters and sales strategists in Australia, Pete shares his insights into his amazing journey of success and gives advice to anyone chasing a dream. Gary Stone from ShareWealth Systems joins Louise Bedford in Cafe Conversations. They discuss diversification and what traders should be looking for in the current US and Australian markets. But first up, we have the news for the week ending 22nd of August with market analyst and commentator Aaron Lynch. Hi, Aaron.
Good morning, Caroline. How are you?
So how did the US market close on Friday?
US markets closed a little off their highs on Friday after really what was a very strong week. So we've seen considerable gains since about the 8th of August in the US markets. We did have technically a down day, but we actually closed a little bit higher than the open. So we've had a very strong week and potentially that'll follow through to the Australian market this morning.
Okay, so how did the Aussie market look last week?
Very similar. We had some strong gains once again also out of the 8th of August. So we've seen markets return to their more positive or buoyant notion after their sort of recent decline. So really just, as we've discussed before, a normal decline in a relatively strong bull market and now returning to the normal transmission of pushing to new highs. And so the Australian market and the US market are starting to get into some blue sky territory. US markets in particular, they're at record highs. The Australian market's starting to get into to some higher points, since the GFC. So we're not at record highs.
Has the Australian market pushed out of its sideways band?
It's doing its very best, okay? So I wouldn't necessarily confirm it 100% of having pushed out of the sideways band. We need a little bit more confirmation, but at this stage it's looking likely.
What were some hot and what were some cold sectors?
Look, it'd be great to get all of our sectors pulling in one line, but the materials in the metals and mining space had a relatively underperforming week in comparison to the broad market. Consumer discretionary, energy and healthcare did really well last week.
What patterns were jumping out from the charts?
Look, the ones that I'm watching in the US in particular, and it's one that relates specifically to the style of analysis that I put in, but we're looking at a pattern whereby looking at lows as a guide to where highs would come in. And we're about three times the GFC low in the US market in price, and we're very similar to three times that same price in time. So we're looking for what we call a bit of a time and price alignment, and that could be coming up in the next week or so. But as far as patterns concerned, I'm looking in the Australian market to confirm its breakout of its sideways move.
All right. What opportunities are you looking at this week?
Look, two that came to across my desk last week with working with some of our traders is we were looking at Westpac in the Australian market, and there was a NASDAQ stock called Microchip Technology. So it's MCHP, I think, is the four-letter symbol. But, they're the two ones that are currently on the desk, and we're looking to see them follow through this week.
Aaron, what advice do you have for traders this week?
Look, the markets are still challenging. There's obviously volatility in the market. So really it comes back to confirmation of good setups and strong risk management. So the advice is simple. Continue to wait for the Australian market to confirm that it could be, pushing along and breaking into new highs. And look, just looking at the US market constantly to see whether it does run out of steam. So a strong eye on quality rather than quantity of trades at the moment.
Aaron Lynch, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Caroline.
Gary Stone is the founding director of ShareWealth Systems, the designer of SPA3 Trading, and he's a popular commentator on Sky Business News and ABC Radio. He caught up with Louise Bedford for a cafe conversation to discuss what's happening in today's markets.
Louise Bedford here. I'm sitting here in Cafe Conversations with Gary Stone from ShareWealth Systems. Oh, Gary, it's lovely catching up with you. How are you going?
I'm pretty good, thanks, Louise.
Oh, that's great. Gary, I think I've known you since 1993, so this has been a very long-term friendship. Gary, with your knowledge as not only a trader, but also being responsible for so many of the traders on your database, what do you think is happening in today's market?
Well, it certainly has not been a good market for active investors. I think the market, particularly in Australia, has got very narrow, and that means there's not much breadth. Liquidity has dried up on the fringes, and it's become a stock-picking market. And effectively, the buy and hold with just a few stocks, and you can get them wrong, because as we were saying earlier, is that the half of the ASX top 20 are stocks that you could be in, and the other half probably not be in. And depending which half you're in, would show whether you're having a positive run in your portfolio or not. So in Australia, very much been going sideways, for underperformed the wider North American markets and some of the European markets and even some of the emerging markets as well. So Australia has not been good. It's been a tough market for from a trading perspective, from active investors, whether they're long or short, mean reversion, trend following, and even futures traders who focus more on the United States markets have had a tough 4-year period as well. I think really in the United States markets, it's been a far broader market. So up until probably the beginning of this year, no matter where you were in the American markets, you would have done well.
Our traders did brilliantly out of the American
fantastically.
Markets. It's really good to have more than just one market up your sleeve, because if you're just trading one, I guess, foot of the pedestal, you're in trouble. It's far better to have a tripod if you're going to sit on a stool, have two or three markets that you can trade, and then you'll do well at least out of one of them. What do you think about that, Gary?
Absolutely. So your diversification should be across markets. So horizontally across markets and horizontally across strategies as well, rather than being in a single strategy in a single market. And even divide the market up. So what we found, probably more so in the last 2 years than any other time that I'm aware of, not only in my own trading but in the research I've done, which obviously predates my trading, is that we've gone through a period where dividing your capital up between core, which would be larger cap stocks, and then smaller cap stocks, in both the Australian market and the US market. It hasn't been good to be in the US market in the last 3 or 4 months in small cap stocks. And the large caps are really coming to the fore there. So seeing the market in different ways is something that's probably probably relatively new to the last 3 to 4 years of trading.
Because there's still definitely money to be had. And if you know what you're doing, if you have the right level of education, you can take that money up. And it's a lovely thing to watch when it does happen.
Absolutely. And the technical analysis tools used the right way can show all this up. It's all there.
That's us
exactly what's going on in which part of the market and in which exchange.
Exactly. So I want to talk to you, Gary, about something that's happening on next week's Talking Trading. Do you want to hear what I'm excited about?
I'd love to hear.
I am so excited that Caroline Stephen is going to interview Steve Nissen. You've heard me rave and rave about Steve, haven't you?
Absolutely. He's probably one of the fathers of candlestick charting.
He is. And his book, the original candlesticks book that he put out, changed my life forever. I remember I ordered it in from the States. They sent it over to Austria instead of Australia. They didn't even know where it was. I had to make a phone call to order it in. I had to pay double FedEx to be able to get it delivered to my door because they'd sent one to Austria and I wanted it badly. And I sat up all night reading his book. And my husband, Chris, was asleep in the bed beside me and I kept on elbowing him saying, oh, my gosh, that's what we did wrong with Ross Mining. Oh, that's what we did wrong with Qantas. It was so exciting to me. The candles just spin such a beautiful story about supply and demand in the market. And there's a way, if you know what the candles are doing, there's a way to make money out of knowing what the candles are doing. So I'm extremely excited about next week's show.
So Steve's going to be it. Now, also, his book, when you bought it, the Aussie dollar would probably have been 50 cents to the US, so it probably would have been in the multiple hundreds of dollars.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I can tell you exactly how much. It was the most I've ever spent on a book. It was $147 to pay for his book back then, and it was $100 FedEx.
Yeah.
So I could not believe it. It blew my head off just knowing how much I'd just spent on my own education, whereas now we know that it's important to back yourself and to pay for your own education. Gary, thank you so much for your time. I'm loving having you not only as a friend but also as a guest on Talking Trading.
It's only a pleasure, Louise.
Knowing which sector is hot and which is not is essential. Check out the hot and cold menu item on tradinggame.com.au for your free weekly fix.
We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz.
From a high school dropout to one of the most in-demand and highest-paid copywriters and sales strategists in Australia, Pete Godfrey isn't the Wizard of Oz, he's the Wizard of Words in Oz. His client list includes a who's who of marketers and entrepreneurs, and he joins us today to discuss his amazing journey to success. Hi, Pete. Welcome to the show.
It's great to be here, Caroline. We're going to have a good time.
What has motivated you to achieve success?
Oh, that's a good question. Look, I was the black sheep of the family. My two old brothers were overachievers, ducks of the school. And basically, I left school early when I was about 15 and hit the road. So for a long time there, mate, I was an underachiever. But I always knew that there was more. I always knew there was, I could do a lot more. So it took me about 20 years of stumbling around, and then my first son was born, and I knew then things had to change. I drew a line in the sand. I had a point to prove to a lot of people and to myself. So that really spurred me on to change my life and get some success under my belt.
You come across as a really positive guy. How do you stay positive when the ride gets rough?
Yeah, that's a good one. Sometimes it's not easy. Look, we all know life isn't smooth sailing, but one big thing that I do every day, not just in the morning, throughout the day, is I give gratitude. I give gratitude for all the things in my life that I can be happy about, that I'm grateful for. And it doesn't really matter where you are right now, if you're going through some hard times, if you give gratitude every day, it's pretty hard to keep the smile off your face if you're giving gratitude, because it doesn't matter where you are, what's going down, there's something to be grateful for.
I think so. So yeah. In your journey to success, what role does negative emotion play, do you think?
I love this question because if you listen to a lot of New Age gurus, it's always positive, 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 positive.
Mm, it is.
You can't let negative thoughts in. It's positive, positive, positive. And that's okay to a certain extent. But here's what. I thoroughly believe you can use a negative emotion to get a positive outcome. And that's why I read a lot of biographies of successful people. And if you have a look at a common thread, there was always someone in their past life who brought them down, told them they couldn't do it or something like that. So they used that negative emotion to carry them forward to get a positive result. Does that make sense?
It does. Do you have an example?
Well, for me, for example, when I first started my mail order business about 15 or 16 years ago, I was a working class dude. I was a labourer with a nail gun in my hand. There was one guy at work that I mentioned that I was starting a mail order business and eventually I was going to work from home. Now, he sneered and for a couple of days he ribbed me a bit. He didn't rib me too much because back then I used to have a temper and I had a nail gun. So he just kept it, you know, little snide remarks. And then I started to keep my goals to myself. But I used that negative example, his negative emotions, to propel me forward as if I was going to show him. And I kept it for myself. And 18 months later, I quit my job and his jaw just dropped because he didn't even realize I was still doing the mail order business. Who was that? Like, you know, it may be petty, but he didn't realize how much he helped me. So that's a beautiful thing.
Pete, why do you think people self-sabotage their own success?
Oh, gee, that's a good one, isn't it? And therapists are kept in business year after year with that question, Caroline, aren't they? but I think there's a couple of things. There's fear of success. Fear of change is a big one. I know as a copywriter, when I'm writing a script or a sales page, I know the fear of change for people is very, very real. So I've got to get past that fear and show them how it will help them. But also I think a big one, and I've thought about this a bit over the years, is fear of what others will say. And that is damn, it is so true, but it's so damn awful because people do get caught up with what other people will think, what other people will say. And none of us are immune to that.
That's actually really common with our traders because people see it as a risky business. What do you suggest for that?
Look, the main thing is to concentrate on what you're doing. And leading back to what you said before about a negative emotion, here's what I figured out early on. Keep your goals to yourself and only share them with people who need to know, who deserve to know. Once you've reached a certain level of success, you can tell the world. But if you come home tonight, you've just done a trading course or something, tell all your friends on Facebook, oh, I'm starting to trade, they'll smash you down because they don't want you to change. And a lot of times they don't really mean it. They don't mean to be nasty. It's just they fear the change in you.
All right, let's talk about ego and self-confidence. Friend or foe?
Look, you've got to, it's a two-edged sword. You've got to have an ego. You've got to have self-confidence. But you can't be the emperor with no clothes. You've got to keep it in check. The way I do that is I'm lucky to have some really good people and smart people in my life who I turn to on different aspects of my life. So I'm very confident when it comes to copywriting, when it comes to scripts, when it comes to selling, that type of stuff. But I'm very, very dysfunctional in so many other areas. So I'm childlike. I'm like a sponge. I don't pretend I know it all because I don't. And even when it comes to my core skill, copywriting, there's an old saying, school's never out for the pro. That means you're constantly learning. You're constantly sharpening your saw. But, yeah, you got to be confident. And confidence breeds confidence in other people. People don't want to come to me, hand over a whole heap of money for me to do their work, and I'm sitting on the fence. They want to ring me and know they've got the Wizard of Words, Pete Godfrey, in best form, confident, yes, this is what we're going to do.
How do you fake it till you make it?
I don't even know if I like that line, to tell you the truth. What I used to do is I'm a big fan of visualization. I could see myself doing and behaving like the person I wanted to be before I got there. So if that's faking it till you're making it, I don't know, but I know it did work with me. The only trouble is when you first get a goal, to the time it becomes a reality, there's that distance in between, and that's where it gets tough, and that's where a lot of people give up, okay? But if you visualize clearly and with emotion the person and the situation you want to be, it will help you through that journey until you get to achieve your goals.
What's your advice for people who spread themselves too thin? Because we find that a lot with our traders. They're working, their parents, they've got a family, and they're learning trading at the same time.
Yeah, look, you got to prioritize. I know when I started copywriting, I started to get runs on the board, started to get a lot of clients, and there was a lot of shiny objects that could have taken me away from where I wanted to be. I knew I wanted to be the best damn copywriter I could be, so I was very focused on that one thing, Caroline, that one thing. I didn't let myself get disrupted by all the other shiny, bright objects out there, and it's getting harder online these days. You're getting bombarded with all these offers, so it's very, very important you get very, very clear on your objective. What do you want to see happen? And then just focus on that one thing until you master it.
Very briefly, three final pieces of advice.
Oh, well, I promised you I'd behave myself. So I'll give you three things that I do that helps me. One, give gratitude every day. Two, focus on your outcome. Here's the thing. People get busy on details, but nothing gets done. They're always busy, busy, busy doing things, but nothing ever gets finished. Nothing ever gets accomplished. So what I do in my world, what Pete's world, and with my high-end coaching members, I make sure they focus on the outcome. I don't care how busy they are. I just want them to get the outcome. So what I do is I focus on the outcome, then I work backwards. Okay, this is the result I want to achieve. What do I have to do to get there? So that's number two. And number three is a big one. Lots of people try to make money with a closed fist. What I mean by that, they won't invest, they won't give freely. You know, they're making, trying to make money with a closed fist. And to me, that just doesn't work. So number three to me is give back and give freely to folks who deserve it. And that might not be money. That might just be some of your time. It might just be a bit of encouragement. It might be a simple well done. But I love lifting other people up as well. And my students will tell you that. I love lifting people up. I love seeing them shine. And I don't care if they outshine me. That doesn't mean anything. So, yeah, gratitude, focus on your outcome and give back to folks who deserve it.
Pete Godfrey, Louise and I just love you. Is there anything you'd like to offer our listeners?
Look, just go over to my blog at petegodfrey.com, P-E-T-E-G-O-D-F-R-E-Y. And there's a couple of really good freebies there that they can download for nothing. And there's a lot of great articles. I know you've been reading some of my posts lately, Caroline. So if they just go to PeteGodfrey.com, that'll be fantastic.
Pete, thanks for your time.
No worries. Thank you.
Next week, we have a very special can't-be-missed interview with the father of modern candlesticks, Steve Nissen. Steve shares how we brought candlesticks to the West, and he gives his superlative advice to traders in the markets. Be sure not to miss his interview. I'd like to thank our contributors today, Aaron Lynch, Gary Stone, Pete Godfrey, and Lady Louise Bedford. I'm Caroline Stephen, and on behalf of the team here, thanks for your company. See you next time.
You've been listening to talkingtrading.com.au with Caroline Stephen. Make sure you are subscribed to this website to receive the very latest market views, commentary and expert opinion. Tune in next week as we've got a bumper show planned. Bye for now.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation or needs. Before acting on any information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.